I hope the series called Anxious About Nothing has been a blessing to you as we continue it. We took a break last week because of Mother's Day. But I want to share with you as we go into this lesson today about this poster. Maybe you've seen this poster around. It says, keep calm and carry on. And I don't know if you know the backstory behind this poster. In 1939, Nazi Germany was attacking England. And so they were bombing them left and right. And the Ministry of Defense knew that the morale of the country was really very, very important. So they made all these posters up. And one of the posters they made was under the Tudor crown. It said, keep calm and carry on. They printed 2.5 million posters, 2.5 million. And they were going to put them all over England because they expected Germany to invade England. Well, that never happened. It never happened, and so they had 2.5 million posters laying around. They had a paper shortage, and so what they did was they recycled most of those posters, and they just kind of got hidden away, and nobody saw them ever again until the year 2000. In the year 2000, a man was going through a box, an old box with a whole bunch of old books, and underneath those boxes was a poster. And he just grabbed the poster and he just threw it up in the bookstore, and that thing went viral before the internet got big. Keep calm and carry on. That's the backstory behind that poster. And one of the takeaways I have as we launch into this message from that story is in warfare, it's critical to win the battle of the mind. In warfare, and you're in warfare, and I'm in warfare, it's critical to win the battle of the mind. And we're going to talk today about continuing this whole series about anxiety. And I hope it's once again a blessing because we're talking about how do I live in peace and not in panic. And if you have like anxiety that's physical, physiological, you need to get help for that. We believe that God gives us doctors, gives us medicine, gives us counselors. And my family have been benefactors of that. But today we're talking about as disciples of Jesus that we have access to spiritual resources that enable us to keep calm and not be anxious about all these things. And so Paul is talking about this to the church in Philippi, and we've been hitting on this one paragraph. And I want to open it back up for you again as we continue the series. Starting in verse 4, chapter 4 in Philippians, using the New Living Translation, says this, always be full of joy in the Lord. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you're considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can possibly understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And so Paul has given us a strategy in learning not to live what we're really focused on in perpetual anxiety. We're all going to be anxious at times. But how do I break free from the prison of perpetual anxiety? We used this acrostic the other day, and that is the word calm, C-A-L-M. C stands for, we talked about this in the first sermon of the series, celebrate God's goodness, celebrate that God is actually in control. And then we also talked about A stands for ask. Ask, like be specific in your prayers, if you remember that. And then the third lesson, we talked about learn. Learn stands for learning, L stands for learning to be content. And so if you missed any of those messages, make sure you go back to our website and you can listen on it, riverchristian.church/messages, or you can go to our app, and our app has just got incredible amount of resources that I want to encourage you to download. So Paul, in the book of Philippians, talks about joy, and it's so fascinating because he's in prison. It's like, how in the world can you be joyful and be in prison at the same time? Now, if I was in prison, I would definitely be struggling with anxiety. But Paul has a spirit that's contented. It is rested. And there are 16 times, I think the key, the secret to his joy, his peace, is 16 times he mentions the word thoughts or minds. And those two words, mind and thoughts, are huge. Let's go back to what he says in verse 8. Verse 8, chapter 4, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and what is honorable and what is right and what is pure and what is lovely and what is admirable. Look at this word. Say it with me, church. Think. That's the word I want you to focus on. Think about these things that are excellent. Think about the things that are worthy of praise. Now, Why did he add that? I think, once again, because in warfare, we're all in warfare, it's critical to win the battle of the mind. The biggest challenge to finding freedom is often changing the way that you think about the challenge, whatever the challenge is. You've got a challenge, and the challenge in the warfare wants you to think one way, but God wants you to think another way about the challenge you're in. And so if you're going to leave the prison of anxiety, you have to manage your mind. That's what M stands for. Manage your mind. In fact, it's interesting, the Greek word for worry means divided mind. And if you've ever worried in your life, you know exactly what that feels like. To do one thing, but be thinking about something completely different. Some of you are doing that right now. You're already worried about something happening later today or later this week. You're here right now, but your mind is divided. In fact, when Jesus preached about his most famous sermon ever, he said, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent means change your mind. Jesus told a story about a young man who left his dad, got the inheritance, burned all the money away. All the inheritance money was burned away. And he was living one way, but then it says he came to his senses. He minded his mind. He woke up, started thinking about what he's thinking about. He realized, I need to change my life. And then he went back home. He came to his senses. And so you cannot stay calm if you're practicing stinking thinking, okay? You can't live in a state of peace if you're practicing stinking thinking. Or to put it another way, to manage anxiety, you have to manage your thought life. You got to manage your thought life. It begins in the headquarters, right? Begins in the headwaters. The author of Proverbs, I love what he said. He said, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. They do, don't they? You know that. Your thoughts run your life. Behind whatever we say or whatever we do, behind whatever we even feel, is what we are thinking. In fact, most of you, if you look back over your biggest regrets of your life, you'll say what I said just a few days ago. I was talking to a buddy of mine, thinking about some stupid decisions I made in my past, part of my past life. And I said, I don't know what I was thinking, right? Have you ever said that about yourself? What was I thinking? Right? You got kids probably at home. You're like, what were they thinking? They probably weren't thinking, right? That's probably what was going on. What was I thinking? Now, no one realizes, strategizes according to this truth more than Satan himself. Satan has something in mind for all of you. And too many of us grant him easy access to our thought life. It's fascinating in the life we live right now because anything that's really important, we hide it, we protect it with a password. I mean, your bank account, every account you can possibly come up with, there's a password, isn't there? So many passwords, I can't keep up with all my passwords. Anybody else struggle with keeping up with all the passwords? It's like every time I turn around, I got to come up with another password for something else. And I ran across a list of the worst passwords ever, all right? The worst passwords ever. Somebody, for their password was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. That was their password. My favorite password was the word password. I hope none of you are that lazy. But now, isn't it interesting that we don't think it's very important to protect what is actually important? And the devil wants to hack your thoughts. He wants to have access to your mind. And so the question I have for you in the room and online, has it ever occurred to you that not every thought that crosses your mind actually comes from you? Has it ever occurred to you? You and I have to take responsibility and the capacity to be the air traffic controllers of our mental airports. And we must accept the responsibility because repentance is more than stopping all behaviors. It's actually changing the way that you think. People behave the way they behave because they believe what they believe. You can't get people to live in a new way if you're still thinking an old way. And so what you and I have to do is we have to retrain the brain. Retrain our brain. You can't get people to live in a new way until they stop thinking the way they've been thinking. And I want to share with you three ideas I think are so transformative if you're trying to leave the prison of constant perpetual anxiety. And number one is this. I can change the way I think. I can change the way I think. Say that with me on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I can change the way I think. Let me be very clear. The only reason this is true is because God enables us. Scripture says the enemy has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, with the Lord's authority I say this, Paul says, live no longer as the Gentiles do, Gentiles who are unbelievers, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have, look at this, they have done what? Read it with me. They have what? Closed their minds. They have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against God. And that is why you can't get people to live a better way by just telling them, stop doing that. Their minds are hopelessly confused. It says that the enemy has darkened the mind of an unbeliever. And Paul goes on to say this in Ephesians 4. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus, have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off. This is what people are doing. We have somebody get baptized today. They're throwing off their old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust, corrupted by deception. Instead, let the Spirit do what? Renew your thoughts. Renew your thoughts and your attitudes. That's the good news. That in the gospel, through the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the blood of Jesus, we can have our minds renewed. You see the connection? You have to let the Spirit change your mind so you throw off all the old ways of destruction. It's not something so much that we do for God as much as something that God does for us. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by doing what? Say it with me, changing the way you think. So this may seem like small potatoes to you, but this is huge, especially huge for the guy who's preaching right now. This is the message I need to hear. And here's what I want to tell you. You don't have to keep thinking the way you have been thinking. You don't have to keep thinking the way you've been thinking. Maybe you need to change your mind to the possibility of changing your mind. Let me illustrate by telling you about Montana ranchers. They have a problem because wolves and coyotes are attacking their livestock, attacking especially sheep. So they've tried everything. They tried sprays, they tried electric fences, and nothing seems to work until finally they came up with this idea and they started using these animals right here. That's right, llamas. Llamas are not necessarily, you know, looking scary, but they are aggressively curious creatures. And so when a coyote comes up or a wolf comes up, they just kind of trot on over there checking it out. Like, they're not scared, they're just curious. Well, the wolf and the coyote see this big old animal coming to them, and they're like, you're not scared of me. You're supposed to be scared of me, but you're not. So that wigs out the coyote and the wolf, and they bug out. It reminds me, the scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So what I'm saying is, you need to look the devil right in the eyes and say, you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. You don't get to tell me what to think. You don't get to land in my mental airport anymore. See, here's the thing. You can change the way you think. You can challenge anxiety-producing thoughts. Satan takes us captive by these thoughts, and we don't know he's doing it because a lot of times we've been thinking these thoughts for so long. A lot of us have been thinking this way since we hit puberty or something, like 12, 13. We've been thinking this way, operating this way, and we don't realize the source of it. And we just think it's normal. It's not normal. It's from the evil one. So we allow thoughts that land in our mental airports. And we should be saying, you know what? There's no runway available. No runway available. And this is why we have to surrender the Holy Spirit and let God do a work in our mind. And as we start to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, this is what happens. The Holy Spirit starts to help us think about what we're thinking about. The Holy Spirit starts to help us ask some questions like these thoughts that I have. Are these thoughts helping me or are these thoughts harassing me? A lot of times we don't really think about what we're thinking about. We just kind of go with it. So the Holy Spirit says, think about what you're thinking about. Are these thoughts convicting me by the power of the Holy Spirit? Are these thoughts condemning me and beating me up? Are these thoughts right now liberating me or are these thoughts incarcerating me? Here's the good news. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can capture our thoughts instead of our thoughts capturing us. You can do this. We can capture our thoughts instead of our thoughts capturing us. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, And here's what he said. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. By the way, we're all in war. We just have a different war. The weapons we fight as Christians are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And so, he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So how do we do that? That's great, Paul. How do we do that? Here's how we do it. Read it with me. And we do what, church? And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Satan, here's what he's been doing with all of us. He is trying to plant thoughts in your head that go against the character and the purposes and the plans of God and the truth of God. He is trying to get you to question the character and the purposes of God. And here's the thing, you will think anxiously if you don't think accurately about God. You will think anxiously if you don't think accurately about God. In fact, I would say this topic of anxiety is so important because it's not just about anxiety, it's actually more about theology. You don't realize that. Jesus picked up on this. He's serving them out. He looks at this crowd. He's like, you guys worry so much. You worry about where you're going to eat, and you worry about what you're going to drink. You worry about what you're going to wear. You worry about tomorrow. He says, don't you realize that behind your anxiety is a poor view of God? He says, look at the birds. Look at the flowers. God takes care of all of those, and yet you're more important than they are. Wouldn't God take care of you? You think anxiously, he's saying, because you don't think accurately about God. And so when anxiety-producing thoughts arise, you and I need to consider, are these thoughts consistent with who God is and with what God says? And if they don't line up with God, if that thought itself is against the knowledge of God, then you need to take the thought captive and you need to make it obedient to Christ. Instead of you being obedient to the thought, you need to make it obedient to Jesus. Kind of make a point of this. I went to a high school baseball game when I was in high school. My friend was playing in it. And I showed up and watched the game. Ninth inning, it's intense. It's an intense game. There's a runner on third base. The batter hits the ball. The ball goes to the shortstop. The base runner on third base starts sprinting for home. He's going for home. It's kind of a stupid call. He didn't have to. But he's running for home. And the shortstop throws the ball to home plate. Catcher catches the ball, so we thought, and then tags the guy. The umpire calls him out, and then all of a sudden, the ball dribbles out of the mitt of the catcher. And then I hear a voice from the stands basically saying, he dropped a blankety blank, you blankety blank. Oh, this is an intense game. I told you, it was intense. And also the umpire looked back at the crowd, looked at my friend's father and said, sir, you need to leave right now or I'm forfeiting the game. My friend's father got up and left and went to the parking lot. And I saw what went down. I saw the play. I saw the umpire's call. I heard a voice. I saw the umpire make a decision and say something to my friend's father. I saw my friend's father leave. That all made sense except for one thing. I knew the character of my friend's father. It didn't make sense. I was like, that's not him. He doesn't do that. Like, that's weird. And so as my friend's father was walking out to the car, all of a sudden I heard another voice, another person say to the umpire, well, if you're going to throw out somebody, throw out the person who said it. And this guy stood up and started walking out of the stadium and walking towards his car. And then my friend's father came back. See, that made more sense because you got to evaluate, I see something, but what's the character? What's the character? Here's what I'm asking you to do. Tell those thoughts, present them to Christ, and here's how you do it. You ask them questions. Like, Jesus, are these thoughts consistent with your character? Are these thoughts consistent with what you said in God's word? Are these thoughts, Jesus, in line with what you've proven to me over and over and how much you love me? See, we sing a song that I love, and the lyrics go something like this. Oh, shame no longer has a place to hide, and I'm not a captive to the lies. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. When I stand in the truth of who God is and what he says, fear has to leave. Fear leaves. we really can think about what we can think about. And we can do something about it. I can change the way I think. I can challenge anxiety and anxiety-producing thoughts. And finally, I can choose what I really will focus on. I can choose that. This is huge. I can decide what gets to land in my mental airport. And some of us have bought the lie, I can't decide that. You can. I can fix what I fixate on. In fact, Paul put it this way once again in Philippians chapter 4. He said this, one final thing, read it with me, church, what? Fix your thoughts. Fix what you fixate on. Fix your thoughts on what is, and he makes all this list of all these virtues, right? Focus on these virtues. He puts the responsibility on who? You, me. And then he says to the church in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 3, he says, look at this, set your minds. Like, that's an imperative. Like, that's not an option. Like, we're supposed to do this. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Listen, it's not enough just to erase unhealthy thoughts. You have to replace unhealthy thoughts with healthy thoughts. Never forget, I went to counseling one time when I was in my 20s. I was struggling with something, and he said, you know what? When you say no to something, you replace that no with a yes. And so if I'm saying no to unhealthy thoughts, I'm replacing it. I got to replace it with something or it'll come right back. Replace it with healthy thoughts. Thoughts that are pure, thoughts that are true, thoughts that are noble, thoughts that are admirable. If you know Greek mythology at all, you know about the sirens. The sirens would lure sailors to the rocks, and their ships would head that direction, and they would hit the rocks, and then the ship would sink, and then the sailors would drown. Well, there was two sailors in all Greek mythology that made it past the sirens. One was Odysseus. Odysseus did it by plugging his sailors' ears with wax, and so they couldn't hear the song. But I like Orpheus's route better. What he did to get past the sirens was he got his lyre out, and he played a different song, a better song, playing a song that was more noble, a song that was more beautiful. Listen, church, none of us are exempt from the sow and reap principle, especially when it comes to our thoughts. We cannot expect a harvest of faith and calmness in our hearts, in our souls, when we are constantly planting seeds of chaos and fear in our minds. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. All right, do me a favor right now if you don't mind. Put your foot out just in front like this. Just put a foot out in front, all right, like you're taking a step. Just put it out. You guys online can do the same thing. And while your foot is out, I'm going to ask you three questions. And I want you to raise your hand at least on the first two, all right? If this applies to you, if it applies to you, so listen to the question. Number one, while your foot is out, do you believe everything you hear on the news and everything that you read on the internet? Raise your hand if you believe everything you hear on the news and everything you read on the internet. Anybody believe everything? Yeah. Nobody? Okay. One person in third service raised their hand, okay? I mean, actually, Thursday night service, so pray for them. Anyway, nobody raised their hand on that one. Good job online. I guess you didn't either, all right? Number two, do you believe that the Bible is trustworthy? Do you believe that the Bible's trustworthy? Raise your hand if you believe that the Bible's trustworthy. Okay, most of the hands are going up. All right, good job. All right, third question, while your foot is out. So why do you spend so much time filling your mind with what you don't believe instead of what you do believe? Why do you spend so much of your time filling your mind with what you don't even believe instead of what you actually do believe? All right, you can pull your foot back. I just wanted it out so I could step on your toes a lot easier. Why do we spend so much time filling our minds with what we don't even think is true when we could fill our minds, what we know actually is true? And I want to say again, there is clear, tractable, studied evidence of the rise of anxiety in our country with the rise of social media. So let me remind you one more time in case you don't know this. When it comes to social media, you get on social media platforms, you're not the client, you're the product. They exist to make money, all right? They make money. That's what they're trying to do. And here's how they do it, by selling your attention to advertisers. And here's what they know. If they can get you enraged, they can keep you engaged. If they can keep you anxious, get you all riled up, then they can keep you engaged. And so they know what pushes your buttons, and they want to make sure you get a steady diet of that. Now, I understand those platforms, some of them can have some value, really do. But I'm simply asking that when you get on social media and then you get off, ask yourself this question. Did my time on that platform draw me closer to God? Did it agitate my spirit or did it calm my spirit? Is my heart in a healthier place right now because of how I just use my time on social media? I want to ask you to stop giving mental space to that which is contrary to the wisdom and the witness of God. You get to decide, believe it or not, you get to decide what's on your playlist. And know this, you can shape what you focus on, because whatever you focus on is going to shape you. I love what the prophet Isaiah said about God. He says, God, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose what? Thoughts are fixed on you. I want to share with you a story of a sister who has two young boys and one young daughter who's had huge, huge health problems. This little girl, her name's Rebecca. Or Rebecca was actually baptized today. This girl's name's Rebecca. She's had 55 surgeries in her short life. She spent the total of 3 years in the hospital. I think that mom knows something about anxiety. And so she has dove into Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7, you know, about being anxious about nothing and being specific in your prayers. But the one thing that she's really done is lean into verse 8. And I want to read to you what she wrote about verse 8. Here's her words. She wrote, finally, brothers, whatever's true. Well, what is true in my life at this particular moment, she wrote, the blessing of my family eating together, whatever's noble, the blessing of enjoying each other's presence outside a hospital room, whatever's right, the blessing of experiencing my two boys' daily lives, whatever's pure, the blessing of all three children laughing and playing with each other, whatever's lovely, the blessing of watching Rebecca, her daughter, sleeping peacefully in her own bed. Whatever's admirable, the blessing of an honorable team working tirelessly for my daughter's care. Whatever's excellent, the blessing of watching of a miracle unfold. Whatever's praiseworthy, the blessing of worshiping a Lord who's worthy to be praised. Think about such things. And she goes on and writes these words. That's what I did. I thought about those things. And then she went on and said, I began to be enveloped with an irrepressible hope. Doesn't that sound familiar? That sounds like Philippians chapter 4. A peace that passes all understanding if you think about such things. She learned that she can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, direct her mind. And you can too. You can too. One of the great things that we have as people of Jesus is the capacity of the Holy Spirit to escape the bondage of perpetual anxiety. Another way of saying it is this right here. Thank God that we get to thank God. Thank God that we get to thank God. In the moments that are frightening, in the moments that are overwhelming, in the moments that are unsettling, in the moments that are anxious and scary, we can stop and say, you know what? I can thank God that God is real. That God loves me, that God redeemed me through Jesus, that God is on the throne, that God has a future for me, that God is going to make everything right. Thank God. I can rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. And you and I still, yeah, we'll have anxious moments. But those moments will not rob us of the rest that Jesus is giving to our very souls. Your calmness can be your witness. So here's the thing. We need a new poster. Here's our new poster. Thank God and carry on. Thank God and carry on. You can do this. I can do this. We can stay calm. We really can. Will you stand with me? Please stand. Let me pray over you right now, church. Father, thank you for being so real and so near. Thank you for understanding that the journey we're on, Lord, we're in a war with anxiety. And Lord, you know we don't win every battle. So Lord, we thank you for your patience. We thank you that you don't give up on us, that you don't turn your back on us, that you don't get angry with us. Instead, you pour out the Holy Spirit on us. Help us to get back and walk up again, Lord, in the direction of freedom, to leave the prison of anxiety. We want our calmness to be a witness to this world, to be a reality of the good news of Jesus' supernatural peace. So Holy Spirit, help us to take captive every thought that does not bring honor to Jesus. We want Jesus to come quickly, but until he does, help us, God, to live calmly, because we believe it brings honor to you. We pray this all in the amazing name of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. We pray this in his name. The whole church said, amen. So, church, if we could be a blessing, our prayer team is up here. Maybe you have something that you're anxious about. Maybe something that you have a joy you want to share. Maybe you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Why don't you come up right now? We're going to sing a song that basically says this. Once again, our fear doesn't stand a chance when we stand in the love of God. Amen. Can we give God the praise for that truth right there? Let's give him our worship. Let's praise him together. Come on. We'll pray for you.